Dear God of the universe, I know that you have given us this territory of Fernley, Nevada, and of our nation, Father. And in your name, I claim it for your glory, for your righteousness, for your honor. I will not be discouraged by the circumstances surrounding us. I will not be dismayed by the enemy's arrows. God, let your glory be magnified. God, let your hand be swift. Let me bring glory and honor to your name by being your tool to till the ground of Fernley, Nevada. God, I pray that for your glory, you will make Fernley the hardest place to go to hell from. And I pray that you will use me in whatever way you see fit to see this vision come to fruition. In your wonderful and powerful name, I pray. Amen. So we're wrapping up our series of Audacious Faith this week. And the thing that I've been expressing every single week is audacious faith is simply shameless boldness. Shameless boldness to come before the throne of the Father, to come before his throne of grace, which allows us to even come into his presence. So we still got to maintain that attitude of I'm allowed to come into God's presence because of his grace. But we can still come boldly before the throne of God and lay our requests before him. That's shameless boldness. And then believing God for his promises, believing God in those things that he has directed us, that purpose that he has given us, that mission, that vision that God has laid on our heart, having shameless boldness to believe that no matter what the circumstances look like, God will do whatever God wants to do. That's shameless boldness. That is audacious faith. Another way to look at this shameless boldness is having confidence in God. And a few weeks ago, I talked about having God confidence. Not confidence in self, but confidence in God. And when we have confidence in God, then we can have both confidence and humility, which seems to be something that totally is contrary to each other. But when we have the right kind of confidence, the confidence in how God has designed us, the confidence in how God has gifted us, the confidence in what God has laid on our heart, knowing that all glory goes to him. No glory is really given to me because I'm just how God made me. When we can have that, then we can have humility before the throne of God. And that's faith, having God confidence. That is audacious faith. This morning, I would like to talk about action. I would like to talk about audacious action. And the reason that I'm reminding you about humility before the throne of God is because quite often when we begin to take action, let's just be honest, when we start taking action, when things start beginning to rely upon our power and our steam, when we start moving forward and God is using us in mighty ways, we start to take credit for that. It's very easy to start saying, oh man, I'm doing awesome. I am rocking it right now. And it's so easy to allow that glory that should be given to God to go to ourselves. So that's why I want to remind us of the humility that we should have before the throne of God. Yes, we can come boldly, but we've got to remember it is all because of his grace that we're able to come boldly, and we need to come in humility before the throne of God. And when we are taking action, we were acting out those things that God has laid on our heart, that vision, that mission, that purpose that God has given to us, we need to remember to be humble and not take credit for ourselves, not give glory to ourselves, not have self-confidence, but have God confidence. Mark Batterson says this, and I think this is brilliant. He says, work like it depends on us. In fact, in other words, do everything you can as if it depends on you, but pray like it depends on God. Does that make sense? Pray like it depends on God. That is audacious faith. That is humility before the throne of God. God, I'm willing to do whatever you're calling me to do. I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to take action. I'm willing to get my hands and feet dirty. But I'm praying that you will guide me, that you will direct me, that you will show me the steps that you have laid before me, and that I will be obedient to what you are calling me to do. That's audacious faith. And that is audacious action. So I just wanted to remind us of that none of what we do in this church or in this community is because of us. Everything we do in this church, in this community, in our workplace, at our homes, if it is for God's kingdom, then he deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. My advice for you, when we begin taking action, when we begin taking steps in faith as a church, as a congregation, or as individuals, is to whistle while you work. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. When we whistle, we're happy, right? We're rejoicing, right? Whistle, I mean, I don't think you can whistle sadly. I mean, maybe some people can, but I don't whistle when I'm sad. I normally cry. But if I'm happy, I have a tendency to whistle, and I'm not the greatest whistler, but it's kind of fun to whistle. So as we're taking action, one of the things I want to challenge you to do is to whistle while you're working. And what I mean by that is to rejoice in what you are doing, to take pleasure in what you are doing, to have fun with what God has called you to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Give praise to God always. Lift up his name always. When you're in the middle of working for God, when you're in the middle of praying for somebody, and God has given you that opportunity to pray for somebody at work, or God has given you the opportunity to minister to somebody at work, or God has given you the opportunity to talk to your children about Jesus Christ, rejoice in that. Take pleasure in that. Have fun with it. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It says that the very this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Give praise. Pray without ceasing. Be in that constant communication with God. As you're working with him, as you're whistling while you work, rejoice with him and pray to him. Pray without ceasing. Always be in communication, that connection between your heart and God's heart. Give thanks. Be thankful to God that you have that opportunity. Be thankful to God for all the things that he has blessed you with. Be thankful that he has called you his child. Be thankful. That's something that we've been talking a lot about at staff and at leadership and some of our meetings that we've been having is just the thankfulness that we should have. I mean, even as our senior pastor stepped down and some hard times hit us, we search for things where we could be thankful, because having a thankful heart and having a joyful heart and being able to pray to God and being able to see the miraculous things that he is still doing in your midst, that gives us the faith to know that he is still doing great things, that he is still willing to use you, that he is still wanting to use you, that he still has a plan and a purpose for your life. Whistle while you work. I love the seven dwarves. I don't know. I don't know which one I would be. So, I mean, some days my kids would probably say I'm grumpy. Kathy would probably say I'm sleepy all the time. But whistle while you work. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Rejoice. You are God's workmanship. Rejoice. He has created you for good works. Rejoice. He designed you specifically for good works, which he had prepared beforehand. In other words, he was thinking of you specifically, designing you specifically for a specific good work that he already had in mind before the creation of the universe. Oh my goodness. That's a scary thought sometimes, but rejoice. Rejoice. I had a few conversations this week with a few people, and they were telling me about some vision that God had laid on their heart. And there are two totally different visions, but God had laid it on their heart. And I was talking to them about their visions and their mission that they felt God had given to them. They couldn't help but smile. They couldn't help but be excited about it. They couldn't help but be thankful that God had chosen them, that God had given them this mission, that God had given them this purpose in their life, that God had chosen them for something specifically. When you receive vision from God, when you receive a purpose from God, when you receive something that a God-designed mission for your life, you can't help but get excited about it. There's just something about that. God has called me to do this. Man, I'm ready to get out there and do it. I am excited about doing this. And that is rejoicing in what God has called you to do. Rejoice. Remember a few weeks ago, I talked about purpose a little bit. And I brought up Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And when I was talking with you guys, that the idea of to cast off restraint is that idea of you're just wandering. You have no purpose, you have no goal, and that is a miserable place to be. When you're wandering, when you don't have an idea of where you should be going, when you don't have a purpose, when you don't have a mission, when you don't have a vision for your life, it's miserable. Kat and I have been in several situations where we weren't sure what we were supposed to do, where we were supposed to go, what God wanted for our lives, and all we could do is pray about that. But while we were in that, man, it was miserable. It was miserable. And I told you guys how in high school or after high school, I didn't really have a mission or a purpose for my life, and I was miserable. But when God gives you that purpose, when God lays that on your heart, you can't help but be excited about it and rejoice that he has chosen you for something in his kingdom. So rejoice. Whistle while you work. The second thing that these verses tell us is to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We rejoice and then we pray without ceasing. This is the will of God, to rejoice and to pray without ceasing. I've been reading through that Sun Stand Still, or actually I finished it finally, but one of the chapters that Steve Furtick wrote was called Pray Like a Juggernaut. And this was a new concept for me, because if what a juggernaut is a juggernaut is, it's like there's so much momentum going behind this force or whatever this thing is that it's unstoppable. It's an unstoppable force. Is what it is. A juggernaut is an unstoppable force. That means whatever is in its path, whatever is in its way, it just crashes right through it. And this chapter was challenging us to pray like a juggernaut, to pray like our prayers are unstoppable, like the mission that God has put us in, when we put prayer behind it, it becomes unstoppable. Now, there's a Marvel character named Juggernaut, and that's his power. It's like he bowls over things with his head. He like puts his head down and bowls right through. Whatever is in his way, it just will not stop him. Now, my favorite movie is Jurassic Park, and there's that one dinosaur that aligns its neck and its spinal column so that it can pound through things. And I remember that one scene where there's this truck and it just lines up its neck and it's just bam, and you see it knocking down this truck. That's a juggernaut. That's what prayer is, guys. That's how we should be praying. Like we are praying our prayers are an unstoppable force. When we are praying in the will of God, when we are taking action on the mission and the purpose that he has given in our lives, that is an unstoppable force. Prayer is action. Prayer is being unstoppable. Prayer is knowing that my God is greater than any obstacle or circumstance that the enemy can throw my way. Prayer can be this, I mean, we oftentimes think that prayer is passive, but no, prayer is active. Prayer is involved. Prayer is, God, I know what we are doing, that we are lining up my will with your will, and we are moving forward, and we are going to be a juggernaut in this. We are going to be unstoppable in this. This mission, this vision, this purpose that you've given to our church, this mission, this vision, this purpose that you have given to me as an individual, I'm unstoppable because of you. I'm unstoppable because of your grace. I'm unstoppable because of your mercy. I'm unstoppable because I am lining up my will with your will. Be a juggernaut. Pray like a juggernaut. I mean, it's kind of an amazing way to start thinking about prayer, isn't it? That prayer is an unstoppable force. And when we are in the will of God, we are an unstoppable force. Now it's active. is not passive. Prayer is an action. Prayer is a mission. There's this passage in Mark that I thought about today when I was going through my studies. This wasn't in my original notes. But in Mark chapter 9, there's this passage where Jesus has gone up on this mountain with some of his disciples, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and he's transformed before them. And then he comes down after this experience, and his disciples, the rest of his disciples, were down at the bottom, and there was this father who had brought his child to them. And this child was suffering from epilepsy and from demonic forces. He would have these fits, epileptic fits, and throw himself into the fire. And his disciples were trying to cast out the demon. His disciples were trying to do whatever they could to spare this child, to save this little boy. And they couldn't do anything. And then it goes through where Jesus has this conversation with the Father, and he says, "If you believe, it can be done." He says, "Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief." And we always land on that. Jesus, I believe, now help my unbelief. And I'm a firm believer in asking God for more faith when I need more faith. So, but in this passage, the very end, his disciples are asking him, "Why couldn't we heal him? You've given us power where we've healed people before. You've given us your power to where we've been able to cast out demons before. Why couldn't we do this?" And Jesus answers them this: "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." And I had to pause there for a second and go, well, what is Jesus saying? He's not saying that prayer is the last resort. He's not saying that, well, there's nothing else we can do, so I guess we must pray. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that prayer is the most powerful weapon you have. What he's saying is that prayer is unstoppable. You guys, this is a new revelation for me. And I hope it is for you, that prayer is not just something passive that we do, that prayer is not just something that when everything comes down to it and there's nothing else that we can do, when we are at our wit's end, when we have exhausted all of our resources, that all we can do is pray. That is very unbiblical. Because prayer is not something that it should be a last resort. It should be our first thing that we run to. And we should recognize it for what it is, that it is an action that we are taking. It's not passive. It's not sitting by and hoping that God does something. It's praying in the will of God. It is connecting our heart with God. It is being a juggernaut, recognizing that prayer is an unstoppable force. And that when we are praying, we are actually taking action with God. We are aligning our will with His. I mean, sometimes we come to an obstacle. Sometimes we come up against circumstances, and that oftentimes is the first thing out of our mouth, isn't it? Well, I guess all I can do is pray. Prayer is not a last resort. It's not the last kid to get picked for dodgeball. Well, we've tried everything else. Now I guess we pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Be unstoppable in your prayer life. Pray like a juggernaut. Be an unstoppable force that can plow through anything. Jesus gives us this promise in Mark 11. He says, "Whatever you ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." That's unstoppable. Whatever you ask, if you ask in the will of the Father, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's unstoppable, guys. Let your prayers be active. Another thing is, when we are praying, there are normally actions that we can take. Remember Mark Batterson's quote where he says, "Work like it depends on you, but pray like it depends on God." we shouldn't just stop at prayer. Prayer should be our motivator. Prayer should be our aligning our will with the Father so we know what step we should take next. Prayer should be our seeking God's wisdom. Prayer should be our, God, give me the strength to do this. That's why we first should go to prayer. But normally, there's something else that we can do. I think it's a very rare occasion when all we can do is pray. I think that there's a lot of times where God wants us to come to him in prayer and then take action in that prayer, in doing something that he wants us to do, in doing whatever he has called us to do. So there are several things that I want to leave you with. One thing that we can do while we are praying is to prepare. Prepare. For some reason, it seems like God is always preparing us for our next mission. For some reason, it feels like God is always preparing me for something. Whatever my circumstances are, if they're miserable or if they're joyful, whatever they are, God's preparing me for what is about to take place next. So we pray and we prepare. And preparation is important. Preparation is important. One of the things that happens in ministry often, I know this because I've been in ministry for a while now, is that sometimes God gives us a vision and we fail to prepare for it. We fail to plan for it. And when you plan to fail, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? So there is this preparation aspect to it where when we receive this vision, we pray to God to help prepare our hearts, to help us take the right actions to prepare for what God has laid before us. But quite oftentimes what I found in ministry is sometimes, or actually quite often, not sometimes, quite often we receive the vision and we take immediate action and we fail to prepare for what God has in place for us. So when you're praying, if it feels like there's nothing else you can do, one of the things you can do is prepare for what God has next. Okay, I'm gonna give you an illustration because I can tell some of you are like, what? I'm trying to follow you. Okay, think of Empire Strikes Back, okay? I love Empire. Empire is one of my favorite movies, okay? The original Star Wars were the best. I don't care what you say, they were the best. But Luke receives this vision while he's training with Yoda about Han and Leia. They're suffering, and he sees their suffering, and the first thing he wants to do is he wants to run out and face Darth Vader, right? First thing he wants to do is run out and go save his well, he didn't know it was his sister yet, but he wants to go out and save Han and Leia. But he hasn't prepared for it. He hasn't finished his Jedi training. And Yoda comes to him, and I wrote this down because I wanted to make sure I said it right, because you got to quote Star Wars correctly, okay? Yoda says, Luke, complete your training, you must. I'm going to try this in Yoda voice. No, I shouldn't try that. I'm not going to attempt that. But if you leave now, help them you could, but you will destroy all for which they have fought and suffered. And as we know, Luke ran off, right? He took off. He's like, I'm sorry, Yoda. I have to go do this. I have to go save Han and Leia. How did that turn out for Luke? Okay, he got his hand chopped off. Han Solo got frozen in carbonite. I mean, he finds out that Darth Vader's his dad, so that's devastating. I mean, sorry if I ruined it for you. But he wasn't prepared. And Yoda warned him, you're not ready yet. You're not prepared to face this mission that you are on. Now, everything, of course, Jedi, Return of the Jedi, you know, comes around and everything's fine at the end. But he had to go through all that stuff, losing his hand, Han being frozen, Darth Vader saying, I'm your father, all these things that Luke had to go through. If he would have taken the time to prepare properly, finish his Jedi training, he wouldn't have had to go through all that stuff. Now, granted, Empire Strikes Back wouldn't have been as good of a movie, but the point that I'm trying to make is sometimes God wants us to wait and prepare for that next mission.
That's right. Yes.
So that is one of the things that I want you guys to be aware of. When God gives you a vision, a mission, a purpose, Yeah, he's given it to you. Yeah, but let him prepare you for that as well. Now, we don't want to get into analysis paralysis to where we're just thinking, oh, I've got to sit here and twiddle my thumbs and try to figure everything out to the last minute. When God tells you to move, you move, okay? But don't move until he tells you to move. Make sure you are prepared for what God has given, that mission that God has given to you. A second thing we can do is when we're praying, we can begin removing those obstacles that we know are already in our way. Perhaps there is a sin in your life that God has been convicting you about. Perhaps you're not completely clear on the vision, so you need to ask God for clarity, or you need to seek the counsel of others, the wisdom of others, to know how you should proceed with your mission or your vision or your purpose that God has laid on your heart. But one of the things that you should ask yourself is, God, is there something that's between you and I right now? Is there an obstacle in the way that is keeping me from stepping out in obedience to you? So we need to pray and prepare, and we should be praying and removing obstacles. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us throw that stuff off. Let us remove those obstacles, that stuff that's in my life that is keeping me out of the will of God, that stuff that's in my life that is allowing my connection with God to be severed, that stuff that is keeping me between God. Let us throw that off, all those things that hinder and that sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race, the mission that is marked out for us. So ask yourself, what's holding me back from fulfilling my mission with God? What is that obstacle that is in the way? What is that thing that's coming between God and I? Perhaps it's self-doubt. Perhaps you're doubting yourself. Pray that God would give you confidence in him. Pray that God would give you that confidence that it's through him that you can do all things, through Christ who strengthens you. Pray those promises back to God if you're doubting yourself. Because when you doubt yourself, then you're putting your faith in the wrong person. Place your faith in God and have God confidence. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I want to wrap this up because we're running short. Verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. As you're rejoicing, as you're praying without ceasing, as you're praying like a juggernaut, an unstoppable force, don't forget to be thankful for the things that God has given to you. Don't forget to be thankful for those things that God has placed in your life. Maybe they are struggles. Maybe they are circumstances that are uncomfortable. But that's where God grows us. That's where God teaches us. That's where God shows us how to live a life of true faith, is when we are up against it. Be thankful for those times. Be thankful for the times that God has come through in your life and pulled out a miracle. Be thankful for the times where God has shown himself to be more faithful to you than you are to him. Be thankful. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. I want to give you some final thoughts as we wrap this up. I gave you my definition of audacious faith, which is shameless boldness. I want to leave you with the biblical definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is shameless boldness. This is shameless boldness, having that confidence that God's going to do whatever God wants to do because he's God. It's having that assurance and that hope in those things that we still do not see, those visions, those missions, those purposes, that we still don't see them. They're still out on the horizon. They're still out there, but we know God has promised us them. That's the shameless boldness to believe it. That is what faith is. So when I've been talking about audacious faith, I've been talking about the very faith that God intended for us to have in the first place. It's not really all that audacious. It's something that should be natural for us. It should be the norm. When we look at Elijah, who was able to pray for the rain to stop and then pray for it to come back again, that should be our norm. We should have that kind of faith always. We should have that kind of faith because that's the definition of it, to have that confidence, that assurance of those things that we hope for, those things that we do not yet see. This kind of faith shouldn't be something that we look at and go, oh, wow, that is amazing faith. That should be like, yeah, that's the kind of faith I live by as well. That's the kind of faith that I have as well. And just like that dad who was able to say, I believe, now help my unbelief, know that that is available to you as well. Because I do understand that this type of faith that should be the norm for the Christian life can sometimes seem just out of reach. So here's what you do. You say, God, here's the faith that I do have. I'm giving it to you. Now help the faith that I don't have. Give me that faith. Take away those doubts. Help me believe. Here's what I can believe. Now help my unbelief. This should be the norm for us. This is how God designed us. This is how God designed our faith, to be this way, to have shameless boldness that our God is greater than anything, can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, that he can save our nation, that he can save our city, that he can save our marriage, that he can save our children, that he can do all these things that seem unreachable for us. God can do those things. When we pray in his will, when we are unstoppable in our prayer life, when we are praying as a juggernaut, when we are having that faith to move forward and take action and not be passive in our faith, but to take action when he tells us to step out, to be prepared when he tells us to step out, to take the time to prepare, to listen to his will, to be obedient to his call, to know that God has created a purpose for my life, and he created that purpose beforehand. When we take that faith and we live that life, God will use us to do great things for his kingdom. And nothing is unattainable when we pray in his will according to his purposes. That's the kind of faith that we should be striving for. We are his workmanship, created to do good works that he has prepared beforehand. He prepared beforehand. He designed us with a specific mission in mind. Have shameless boldness that God will do great things through you, and then give him the glory for it. And let that become the norm in your life, not the exception. My challenge for you this week, simple. Be an unstoppable force. Pray like a juggernaut. Pray like that dinosaur that can bowl over a Jeep by just putting his head down and charging forward, because he knows how God has designed him. Be an unstoppable force. I want you to be thinking, what purpose, what mission, what vision has God laid on your heart? What purpose, mission, or vision has God laid on your heart that you've always been a little bit too afraid to ask for? And this is what I'm challenging you to do this week. Write it down. Write that mission, that vision, that purpose down, and put it on that wall, that audacious faith wall. Share it with us as a church and allow us to pray for it, and then you yourself pray for it audaciously. Audaciously pray for it. Unstoppable, pray for it. Juggernaut, prayer, pray for it. And allow us to pray for it as well. I went back there and read some of those cards this morning, and man, there are some awesome testimonies back there. There's some awesome things that God wants to do in people's lives back there. And I want us as a church, as a congregation, to be able to lift one another up as God lays a vision and a purpose on our heart, that we can pray for one another and pray as juggernauts together, unstoppable forces together, that God's will be accomplished in our individual lives, in our life as a church, in our life as a community, in our lives as a nation. Pray like a juggernaut. Take action. If you're here this morning, you need prayer in your life. Remember, prayer is not passive. Prayer is active. Prayer is a force to be reckoned with. If you need prayer this morning, we've got our guys off to the side here, our elders that are willing to pray with you. They're willing to come alongside of you and encourage you in your mission, your vision, your purpose that God has laid on your heart. If you have prayer needs that are concerning that, these guys are willing to pray with you. If you have prayer needs that are concerning perhaps hurts or things that you've been going through in your life, the obstacles that you are facing that you don't feel like you can break through those obstacles, allow these guys to pray with you. Knit your hearts together as a juggernaut, as an unstoppable force in prayer to break through those obstacles, to break through those financial difficulties and those marital problems or your problems with your children or your problems at work. Allow these guys to pray with you or allow somebody in the seat next to you in the congregation to pray with you as an unstoppable force to break through those obstacles. But God wants great things for you. He's designed you with a purpose, a mission. And nothing can thwart the will of our God. Let's sing this last song.